everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. We have a new president of the United States of America. His name is Barack Obama. President Obama. And Dr. Reif, who joins us, who is a addictionologist.
Yeah, you like
and,
that word.
Yeah, a world-renowned psychiatrist is with us. And you just, you're coming from a Barack Obama party, huh?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
What time did you get down there?
I got down there about 6, and I left, you know, just now to make it here on time. It was so inspirational. All these people are talking about all this good that they want to do in the world, and these are the same people that were totally lazy like a week ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they were the ones that, they're the ones, the actors and actresses who are pledging. You see that video?
Yeah.
I pledged to, you know, rid the world of, oh.
I'll tell you what, if 5% of the people that actually pledge to do something actually do something,
right,
that world's a better place.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I'd like to talk to a few of them, ask them where all those pledges were on a little date I like to call September 12th, 2001.
Well, it's kind of like New Year's, right? Like, a big thing for my field in psychiatry and psychology is, like, in December, everybody's gorging on, like, alcohol and eggnog.
Right.
And, like, chocolates and cake and all, you know, all this stuff, turkey. And then the first week of January is when, like, the diets kick in and the right. exercise plans and the trainers and the gym memberships and everything else. It lasts about 2 weeks.
2 weeks is about the average?
Usually about 2 to 3 weeks.
And then so any kind of New Year's resolution lasts less than a month?
Usually, yeah, right. Unfortunately.
Right. Well, mine lasted all year last year, so I'm in the minority.
Can you say what yours was?
Oh, yeah. I pledged on January... All right, December 31st, not to make any New Year's resolutions. And I was completely successful.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's a high percentage on that one.
All right, we're going to do the news with Gina Grad. I'd like to do it about 9 o'clock. We're a little late here, about 9:06. And it is news, and it's with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom. Obama, Obama. Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Someone to actually make a difference in my generation.
By the way, when he says someone to make a difference, he's talking about me.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Are you pledging anything?
No, I don't pledge. Right. I pledge of allegiance.
There you go.
That's about it.
All right, what's going on with the news there, Gina?
Well, as I'm sure you know, President Barack Obama was sworn in at noon today in Washington, D.C. The ceremony was followed by a 15-minute speech about how together we will turn this country around.
Mm.
And though this election win has come as a surprise to many people, there is one person out there who would not have been shocked at all by this win. In this clip from the BBC, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. offers his opinion in an interview given over 40 years ago that virtually predicts the events that just unfolded.
Wow, look at that. Here we go. Martin Luther King Jr.
Robert Kennedy, when he was Attorney General, said that he could imagine the possibility of a Negro president in the United States within perhaps 40 years. Do you think this is at all realistic?
Well, let me say first that I think it is necessary to make it clear that there are Negroes who are presently qualified to be president of the United States. There are many who are qualified in terms of integrity, in terms of vision, in terms of leadership ability. But we do know that there are certain problems and prejudices and mores in our society which make it difficult now. However, I am very optimistic about the future. Frankly, I have seen certain changes in the United States over the last 2 years that surprised me. I've seen levels of compliance with the Civil Rights Bill and changes that have been most surprising. So on the basis of this, I think we may be able to get a Negro president in less than 40 years. I would think that this could come in 25 years or less.
Wow. And that was 63 you gave that interview?
Yeah, so he's very optimistic.
Yeah, so 45 years later, very close.
Yeah.
It's a great prediction.
Yeah, he had that. He threw in that 20-year margin at the end, but in general, he got it.
You know who must be really pissed off is white women.
Why is that?
that a black guy leapfrogged over you.
Oh, yeah.
Getting that White House before you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and many people have you know, hypothesized in the past, well, what do you think the country will accept first, a white woman or a black man? And that's always sort of been the toss-up.
I think we got the answer.
We have our answer. Grad 12.
Oh, yes. All right. Anything else going on in the news?
Yes. Well, among those in attendance today were Vice President Joe Biden and his wife, Jill, who participated in the day's events. And with as many slips of the tongue that Vice President Biden has been responsible for, Joe's wife, Dr. Jill Biden, showed that she needs to be monitored a little closely as well. In this clip, the couple who appeared on Oprah this week created an awkward moment when Jill Biden let it slip that Joe had been offered his pick of being Barack Obama's running mate or the Secretary of State nominee. And if you listen closely, you can hear Biden shushing his wife before the crowd erupts.
Oh, boy. And, women love that.
Keep that on the DL.
Especially women doctors. They love to be shushed. All right, here we go.
Why did you say good for the family, Jill?
Because I think Joe had the choice to be Secretary of State or Vice President. And I said, Joe, no. Well, okay, he did. So,
You said Joe? No. It's okay.
Well, you asked right. No, go ahead.
So I said, Joe, if you're Secretary of State, you'll be away. We'll never see you. You know, I'll see you at a state dinner once in a while.
Yeah.
But I said, if you're Vice President, the entire family, because they work so hard for the election, can be involved. They can come to our home. They can go to events. They can be with us all the time. And that's what's important to us.
You know who really lobbied for Hillary to be Secretary of State?
Who?
Bill Clinton.
Well, yeah.
Because now she gets on a plane this Thursday, and she's gone for 4 years. And that
party time.
That weenie comes out, and a lot of girls going to be checking that sucker out over the next 4 years.
Wow.
And her poo nanny.
Yeah. He is so happy with this.
Well, at first I didn't know what the big crazy thing was, why everyone freaked out. But do you think it's because that shows that maybe Hillary wasn't the first choice?
Well, I think it's, you know, first of all, you never want to say that, you know, that the Secretary of State's job is so insignificant that they'll offer it to anybody willy-nilly.
Right.
Like,
right.
Hey, you want it. It's a pretty important job.
Right.
And it really is, I'd say, even more so than the vice president,
a very powerful
position.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a great negotiator and a great, you know, personable personality.
Absolutely.
You have to have a great personality to be in there.
And if 24 and West Wing have taught us nothing else, it's that you have to go through the caterers and the custodial people before you ask the vice president his opinion on something.
Right.
They surround themselves with the advisors and the secretaries. And oh, yeah, somebody let the vice president know I'm going to be gone for a couple days dealing with the war.
Yeah. But that is, it's a powerful position.
Yeah.
That, and she's going to have it, and Bill's going to be effing around.
I'd love to have heard Biden's, like, the speech to his wife before they actually went on to Oprah. Like, okay, honey, don't say anything that's going to get me in trouble, okay?
Yeah.
I got enough problems as it is.
I've taken care of a lot of that.
Well,
but do you think that Bill Clinton will be having sex with a woman while Hillary is still on a plane to a foreign country?
So you're saying before she lands?
Before she lands, while she's still in the air.
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's a quick flight, maybe not. You know, if it's a transcontinental kind of, you know, long-term thing, then...
Oh, man. Yeah. He is going to get some tail. He was pushing for her to also be the next, you know, long-term person on the space station, too. Once you're up there for about 6 months. Anywhere other than that house. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, in other political news, veteran journalist Bill Moyers appeared on a PBS special recently, likening the Nation of Israel to a terrorist nation. In this clip, Moyers expounds on the alleged indiscriminate killing the Jewish nation has been responsible for.
Oh, boy. All right, here we go. Didn't take long.
For too much of the world at large, the names of the dead and wounded in Gaza might as well be John Doe 2. They're the casualties and victims of Israel's decision to silence the rockets from Hamas terrorists by waging war on an entire population. Yes, every nation has the right to defend its people. Israel is no exception, all the more so because Hamas would like to see every Jew in Israel dead. But brute force can turn self-defense into state terrorism. It's what the U.S. did in Vietnam with B-52s and napalm, and again in Iraq with shock and awe. By killing indiscriminately, the elderly, kids, entire families, by destroying schools and hospitals. Israel did exactly what terrorists do and exactly what Hamas wanted.
Wow. Yeah. Now, here's how stupid Bill Moyers is. And let's listen to this again, this part.
Israel did exactly what terrorists do.
Israel did exactly what terrorists do. Indiscriminately killed women and children. First of all, it's not true. Second of all, there is a huge group of Jewish people that support PBS and give money to these stations. Like, I think Channel 52, isn't KCET one of them?
KCET, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if KCET also believes that Israelis are terrorists.
Highly doubt it. Highly
but they haven't
it.
Come out and denied it, so maybe they're, you know, KCET, until they come out and say Bill Moyers is a lunatic, their association with him means that they believe what he says.
Yeah.
And, you know, in today's economy, if you wipe out all of the donations by, you know, Jewish Americans, it's going to hurt you. I mean, I can't believe those stupid people.
It's a pretty ballsy move on Mr. Moyer's part to take the one channel that's supported by viewers, solely supported by viewers, and come out like that.
But he's, you know, the far left fringe of the Democratic Party are anti-Semitic. And they don't like Jews, they don't like Israel, and they don't like what's going on in the Middle East. And yet these guys still keep, you know, supporting that PBS. Oh. I don't get it, man.
They really don't. They show good ballets.
I don't. Yeah. PBS. All right.
Better than Animal Planet.
You know, I don't even know where my PBS station is. I mean, if I were to go home and try to find PBS on my TV, I don't think I could find it.
Really?
I have no idea where it is.
Do you know how many modern dance specials you've missed?
Yeah. See, I'm not that kind of guy.
Wait, don't they have ballroom on there, too?
Every once in a while, yeah.
They do.
Yeah,
they have, like, you know, that whole ballroom kind of...
Yeah. PBS loves
Mary
the dance.
Mary Lou Henner.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Is like a judge or something.
Yeah. All PBS right. loves the dance and hates
all
the
right.
Jews.
How do we know
I guess
that?
So.
That's actually
they love
right
dancing
right.
and hate the Jews.
Yeah.
Huh?
Two favorite things, dancing
but
and hating.
But you're Jewish. When you hear Bill Moyers say that Israel is a terrorist state, how does that affect you?
It affects me. It makes me sad. I mean, that's the thing. I might be too open-minded. I mean, you could convince me pretty much of anything if you had a decent argument. So I'm listening. I'm willing. I'm not stubborn. I'm listening to everything you have to say. But at the end of the day, I think that that's rather ridiculous. And it does make me very, very sad on behalf of, you know, my people.
I mean, if you remember the Olympics where all the Jewish athletes were slaughtered
yeah.
and killed
yeah.
in Munich, I believe. Wasn't it Munich?
Munich.
He's saying that Israel is doing the same thing and capable of that kind of crap.
Yeah.
That's just simply not true.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, switching gears for a moment, the Hollywood community came together this week to produce yet another viral video supporting the change in the White House and letting us common folk know all the ways each of them are going to change this world for the better. Some of the stars that lent their image to this video include Ashton Kutcher, P. Diddy, and Chili Peppers frontman Anthony Kiedis. Mm. We have the video for you in its entirety, and as a little extra incentive, if you stick around just long enough, you will hear Jason Bateman, and he'll come through with a hilarious surprise about halfway through.
All right. Now, in this audio that we're going to hear, isn't Nicole Richie in this?
Yes, she is.
And she's making a pledge?
Yeah, pledging.
Yeah. How about the pledge not to drive the wrong way on the 134 freeway?
Jesus
isn't that
Christ.
All we need out of her?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get all viked out and coked out or you know, with the weed and the booze.
Yeah.
I don't know what she was doing. But she was on something. Because I've been driving for 30 years. And I've never driven the wrong way on the freeway.
Right.
And I've been bombed sometimes. And I was, you know, younger. I was driving pretty wild. But to drive the wrong way on the 134, she put some people's lives in jeopardy. Because usually that ends on a head-on collision
right.
at 140 miles an hour.
Right.
She's going 70, he's going 70, and nobody lives.
Right.
So if darling, if you could just pledge not to stay off the freeways going the wrong way, that's all we need from her.
Good night.
Yeah.
Keep it
all
simple.
Right. Hollywood pledging. Here we go.
I pledge to help end hunger in America.
By supporting Feeding America and our local food bank.
I pledge to smile more, to laugh more, to love more.
I pledge.
Isn't that a low-level pledge?
I pledge
more.
To smile more too.
I mean, everybody. Some of these pledges are pretty high in the difficulty range, like ending worldwide slavery and ending American hunger. But this one is not so high up on the difficult chart. You know, it's like when you watch the Olympics and a guy does a dive, they rate you on the difficulty of the dive.
Right.
I mean, anybody could just jump off, go feet first into the water.
Cannonball.
But it's the difficulty.
I pledge to continue involuntarily blinking.
I pledge to breathe. Thank you.
And I pledge Jesus to sleep Christ. When I'm tired.
It is amazing. Who did this? Who is the pledge of I'm going to smile?
Yeah, who started
well,
the pledge?
Sources say, and that source is Randy, that this was a Demi Moore-Ashton Kutcher joint.
Ah, all right. But who wants to smile more? Who is the actress? Do you know? No? Just another actress going to smile more. Jesus Christ.
I was getting a Rosario Dawson vibe, by the way.
Is that right?
It might be.
All right, here we go.
I pledge to smile more, to laugh more.
It is so insulting to everybody in the world. Yeah, in Hollywood. We can make a pledge. All right, what's your pledge? I'm going to end world hunger and slavery. Wow, that's going to be unbelievable. You're going to spend like 18 hours a day. How about you? Just smiling. Less, I can't offer much here, gang.
Have fun at the food drive. I'll be smiling. Okay.
I'll be smiling.
Raise a lot.
God almighty.
To love more.
I pledge.
To volunteer more of my time to help children battling serious illnesses.
With the art of Elysium.
I pledge.
With what?
I don't know.
The art of Elysium?
Something
with
like
the
that.
Art of Elysium.
What is that, Doc? Do you know? Is that a medical term?
Art of Elysium?
Let me see here.
To help children battling serious illnesses.
With the art of Elysium.
I pledge to be a great mother.
To be a great father.
To continue working with UNICEF. To make this world a better place for all of our children.
To be the voice for those that have no voice.
I pledge.
To consider myself an American, not an African American.
To all. How hard is that? I pledge. All right. That takes what? 8 seconds? I'm an American, not an African American. All right. That's a wrap. That's a wrap on your pledge. You coming back next year? Jesus Christ.
To consider myself an American, not an African-American.
To always represent my country with pride, dignity, and honesty.
I pledge to go to usaservice.org
and find a service project that I am passionate about.
I pledge allegiance to the funk, to the United Funk of Funkadelica.
Funkadelica.
Oh, please. Jesus Christ almighty. Oh. Is it, can actors, you know, actors have changed over the years. When my father, who happens to be Tim Conway, if you look at the group of actors that my father performed with and grew up with and associated with, I mean, you're talking like, you know, Don Knotts, Don Rickles, Bob Newhart, Carol Burnett, Harvey Korman. I mean, those were some real classy people who never had to say, I'm going to smile more.
Right.
They never said, you know, I'm going to try not to lie, cheat, and steal. You know, those weren't pledges. Those are what you grew up with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those are just standards.
Could you imagine Harvey Korman pledging to the funk of Funkadelic?
Yes, Jesus Christ. It's changed. Now they've all become complete lunatics in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's like values that were already there.
Right.
Right.
Now being stated, like, hey, guess what? I'm going to smile.
Yeah. You know what I think that started, or at least I remember the first sign of when you went, huh? Is when somebody said, hey, I just graduated high school. And they're like very proud of that.
Jeez.
Like, hey, I got my GED, or I graduated high school. I'm like, wait a minute. What's the pride all about?
As Chris Rock would say a little more colorfully than I will, that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I've never been to jail.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to smile. You're supposed to not lie. You're supposed to not cheat. Yeah, those are things that you should be doing. You have to pledge to smile more. Jesus Christ. The group in Hollywood, they've become lunatics. They're surrounded by so many yes people. Everyone says yes to them. So when Demi Moore or Demi Moore and this other, you know, these other clowns say, what is your pledge going to be? And they tell their assistant, they go, I'm going to pledge to smile more. And the assistant goes, that's awesome. You know,
that's a good one.
Everything you do, that's so great.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to love it.
That 1,000-watt smile of yours is going to make a huge difference.
Us Weekly, we can get like Crest commercials. We can do whatever, man. That's going to work it for us.
But nobody says to this actress, hey, baby, let's come up with a little more difficult pledge here, darling.
Yeah.
Smiling. Jesus, that you can do that in your sleep. Involuntarily, sometimes you smile in your sleep.
I pledge
to never give anyone the finger when I'm driving again.
Now, that's a good pledge.
Yeah.
Could you make that pledge?
No way.
I didn't think
that's
so.
A tough one.
Oh, it's the worst. Because, I mean, I don't
especially
really...
Especially in L.A. That's,
but you know what? I don't give the old finger. I give the new modern-day finger. You know, the old finger is, you know,
the
just
middle.
A straight-up finger,
right.
An F-U. The new finger is the pointing finger, and it's right to your left.
Ah.
That's the new one.
Do you really do that?
Oh, yeah. Hey!
That might confuse them, though. They might not know what you're talking about.
Oh, I think they will, because he points at them first.
Yeah, you?
Right here.
Right there. They don't like that.
Do you care what sex it is,
oh, no.
Who it is?
No, it could
young,
be a big
old.
Black guy. It could be a Spanish.
Doesn't matter to you.
Doesn't matter.
It's good.
Old woman, doesn't matter. They all get the finger pointing and then right to the crotch. Hey, a piece of that.
You don't discriminate.
No, not at all. I pledge not to discriminate when I tell somebody to eat me. Here we go.
To always find the humor in everything.
I pledge to help find a cure for Alzheimer's.
To care for...
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
First
hold on.
We're in my field now. Do you know how hard it is to find the cure to Alzheimer's? Let me start. You know, if that person knows anything about neurofibrillary tangles and amyloid plaques, I'm going to be, you know,
shocked.
Yeah, it's I would be incredibly impressed when that actor can do that. Let me just tell you that.
That is such an insult to doctors.
I know. I'm like, what? Yeah, like we've been trying the last 100 years to figure it out, and
right.
You know, when you're done doing scrubs, let us know, you know, when you've got it.
You know, if they're all standing in a line doing this, maybe she said, I pledge to cure Alzheimer's. You know, I'm going to do hers. I pledge to smile more.
Yeah, when you stop doing the commercial, two Big Macs for $3.50, and then you cure Alzheimer's, that's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
It's really going to be terrific.
Honey, what'd you do today? Well, I did the Pepto-Bismol commercial, and I cured Alzheimer's.
Oh, you know that Alzheimer's thing? Gone.
It's a tremendous insult to you doctors, because what they're saying is you guys have been sitting on your ass for this Alzheimer's cure.
Right.
And or that you guys have no idea what you're doing. Let's leave it up to the actors. They'll solve it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to do. Jesus Christ Almighty.
To help find a cure for Alzheimer's.
To care for America's elderly.
To make sure that senior citizens have access to health care.
So that our next generation's memories will not be forgotten.
I pledge
to bring awareness to mental disease.
To advance stem cell.
Sweetheart, you could have mopped up in that room you were shooting this video.
I pledge
to bring awareness to mental disease.
Because that's what all of these actors are filled with. I think mental disease is more prominent in Hollywood actors and actresses than it is in the general public. Is that true or untrue, Doctor?
Well, I think it depends on your definition of mental disease. If that includes narcissistic, like there's certain LA personality disorders, like
right.
Narcissistic and histrionic are a big two.
What is histrionic?
So histrionic is when you need to be the center of attention at all times.
Oh, I see.
You over-dramatize everything.
Is there a cure for that?
Not really. I mean, it's more like life. You just go through the rigors of life, and you hopefully develop humility and realize the world's not all about you, and there's good things you can do in the world, and all of that stuff that don't revolve around you.
Right.
That usually takes time, and some people, actors or non-actors, never get it. And you know, you might have a grandmother that like it's still all about her at 80, as well as when she was 20, and that's just the way it is.
And that's a mental disease.
Well, that's my point is, if you consider personality disorders to be, they're called Axis II disorders, if you consider them to be a mental disease, then yeah, there's a lot of it in the performing arts. You know, if you don't consider it, then maybe not.
Right. But do you need a little of that to become successful as an actor?
Yeah, here's the thing. You know, people are always like, well, dude, you're narcissistic. You know, you're just all about you.
Right.
Well, you know what? Having a healthy ego is a good recipe for success. You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your ability to do stuff. You know, Obama believes in his ability to figure some of this stuff out that he needs to work on. If he didn't have a healthy ego, what would he do? Well,
right.
Maybe I can do it. I don't know.
Yeah,
right. I mean,
yeah.
You have to know
how to also shut that off.
Yes, but you got to mix it in with humility,
right.
And service. And the people that have narcissistic personality disorders, they don't care what other people think. They just are about themselves, and they can't shut it down.
I was at a bar, and I don't go to this place that often. I think I've been there twice in my life, but it's up at the Mondrian Hotel, the bar, and
Skybar.
Skybar, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, how do we know that? Gina?
How do you two narcissists know that? But I was with Jason Sulaco, who used to be the producer of the show. Then he went on to be a program director, and now he's a super agent in Hollywood. But I was with him in the bathroom, and we were both sitting there, you know, waiting to take a leak. There was a line, and there was one guy who was probably about 23, 24 years old. He had was washing his hands. They put water on his face. He was drying his face off. And he's rubbing his hands together. And he looks in the mirror. And he points to the mirror. And he goes, "You own this town."
Oh, my God.
Right? To himself. And I'm thinking to myself,
I think
Christ,
I know that
almighty.
Guy.
How is this guy raised?
I think that's the password at Skybar.
But isn't that cocaine? I mean, doesn't cocaine bring that on?
I tell you what. I mean, any kind of stimulant can bring that on. But there are people walking all over this town that believe that. That probably when they are home at night, when they're at Skybar, when they're at Taco Bell,
right,
in the bathroom, they're saying the same thing.
It really is fascinating to watch. Sick. I enjoy it.
I pledge to bring awareness to mental disease.
To advance stem cell research.
To spread the awareness of autism.
I pledge
to show more love to strangers.
To meet my neighbors.
Find out their names.
I'm going to give them a smile.
And ask them how I can be of service to them.
I pledge.
I pledge.
To be a better mentor to my younger sisters.
To continue to be a mentor for big brothers and big sisters.
I pledge.
To reduce my use of plastic.
By starting.
What? Surgery?
Oh. I think you were missing a word there.
That's the LA, the
Jesus
LA version.
Christ.
So she said it, they just cut it off early.
To reduce my use of plastic.
You know, I bet you anything in the next 10 years that Hollywood is so crazy that they'll want to change the term plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not environmentally, acceptable to use that term.
What do you think it'll be? Something
recyclable surgery?
Recycled augmentation?
They'll just make like the silicone green. We're going green.
Jesus Christ.
By starting with using less bottled water.
To plant 500 trees this year to help our planet.
To be more green.
To no longer use the plastic bags at the grocery store.
To consume less and cultivate more.
So that we are on this planet forever.
There is a high and a low here. One actor is going to cure Alzheimer's, or at least make everybody aware that autism is affecting a lot of kids. And then there's one chick that's into effort with, I'm going to bring my own bags to Gelson's. There is a full spectrum
of
craziness here. Yeah,
you could call it reality testing. You know, like somebody could be like, well, could I cure Alzheimer's? No, probably not. What could I do? Well, I could bag my own. I could work at Gelson's. I could do that. That could work out for me.
With a little work, I could probably smile more.
You got to respect the fact that at least they're, you know, they know their limits.
All right. Now, Dr. Reif, without getting too deep into what Alzheimer's is, how long has the medical world known that exists?
Well, I mean, definitely for decades.
And they've been working on a cure since they discovered it.
Because think about this, right? Alzheimer's pre-baby boomers was a problem, but people were dying off before you could see the onset of Alzheimer's, you know, showing itself. The longer that we live, the more we're going to see Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's can happen to any of us. It's not just like this, well, certain people get it, certain people don't. The
right.
older you get, the more of a chance you're going to get Alzheimer's. So people in their 80s have a much higher probability of getting it than people in their 50s, 60s.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So if people die off in their, you know, the age of mortality used to be like 60-something.
Right.
You wouldn't see it.
Right.
But all these people that are 80, 90, 100-plus, they're definitely going to see a lot more of it. So it's only getting worse.
And what part of the brain does Alzheimer's develop?
Well, you get these neurofibrillary tangles and these amyloid plaques, and you get all these that basically the brain changes, and you get more kind of toxic changes into the brain. There's different areas, so it's not just one specific area. But what ends up happening is you develop this response neurobiologically that ends up causing you to have this, like, you get some Parkinsonian symptoms, you get the memory loss, you get the behavioral changes, and it's a very, very sad thing, and it's a very serious thing. So to hear somebody just talk about, well, you know what am I going to do today? I think I'm going to cure Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
It's hard to hear that, especially if you have a family member that has Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there is nothing more tragic than seeing somebody who's totally with it slowly lose their mental capacity.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
All right. We continue here with Dr. Reif, also Gina Grad doing the news. And we're listening to the – can we listen to the rest of this? All right, here we go.
For the environment, I pledge to flush only after a deuce, never a single.
Whoa.
Wow.
Mr. Jason Bateman, everybody.
Who wants to go to his house? Not me.
I thought that'd be the one guy you would really respect.
No. Oh. I mean, I Malibu Dan used to do that. If it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it
mellow.
It's mellow or something like that. And you know what? I just think those guys are pigs.
Wow.
Because especially if somebody has a decent asparagus habit in the house.
Yeah, that can be bad, too.
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. You guys have cats? Like, nah, it's just Jason Bateman's urine. He's a little tied up because he's been on some antidepressants, so he's not really essing anymore. So what, there's about 5 days of urine in that toilet? Holy Christ.
And concentrated urine smells
bad. Absolutely.
I mean, there's all sorts of stuff when it's concentrated.
And especially if some guy has a radical... Vitamin Jones.
Exactly.
You know, or he's with asparagus, or even different, like, some Mexican foods. You know, you can sort of smell what you had the night before.
Yeah, you know what? I work out at Gold's Gym in Venice, and I went to the bathroom.
God, you work that in every week, man.
What, Gold's Gym?
Every week you're like, yeah, I'm working out at Gold's Gym, and I happen to see a urine in the toilet.
Yeah, so the guys there, I don't know what they use or what they don't, but it's got to have the most concentrated urine I've ever seen in my life, because I'm, like, scared to go in there. Anyway. That's my plug.
But that's good for another week's worth of membership. But, yeah, you know what, folks? We're not there yet where I think we have to, sit around and concentrate on the gallon of water that you're going to waste. Flush your urine down the toilet, Jason, please. I mean, you have a dinner party. What, 9 people are going to take a leak and it's all just going to sit there?
Oh.
The flies all over it? Please, flush it down.
I pledge.
I pledge to turn the lights off, because I used to leave the lights on, but we want to conserve energy, so I'm going to turn the lights off.
Another low level.
That's P. Diddy.
Another low level. That's P. Diddy?
Yes.
Right. Shut Poppy the lights Combs. Off, huh? Mm. Take the light switch and push it down.
Yeah.
There you go. One guy's got Alzheimer's, the other guy got a switch joke.
You turn the lights off.
I pledge
to sell my obnoxious car and buy a hybrid.
To drive slower and not use as much gas.
I pledge to volunteer my time.
To express the importance of arts education in our schools.
To sell a culture of intelligence instead of ignorance.
I pledge to help children understand that just because they come from a small place doesn't mean they can't dream big.
I pledge
to work to make good the 200-year-old promise to end slavery.
To the abolition of 21st century slavery.
To free 1 million people from slavery in the next 5 years.
That's Demi Moore, right?
Yeah.
Is that her?
Yeah.
And she's got a lot of work in front
so
of her.
So then we shouldn't expect to see her anymore.
No.
No movies, no TV, because she's working. Because she's going to have to work around the clock now.
And from what I understand, one of the worst slavery problems right now is in Haiti. Half of an island that was actually founded by ex-slaves.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And now the slavery over there is just out of control. So Demi Moore, a one-way ticket to Haiti, and 1 million slaves are going to be free in 5 years.
Yeah.
200,000 slaves a year, Demi. That's, if you take out weekends, that's 1,000 a day.
Oh.
So let's...
It's kind of overwhelming when you put it that way.
Yeah, let's get... who's she married to now?
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher. Let's stop with the digital camera commercials and let's get moving. That's a lot of slaves every day. It's 1,000 every day. Let's go.
To free 1 million people from slavery in the next 5 years.
To fight.
To become aware.
To educate.
To not give up.
To defend.
Issues that I care about.
I pledge to be of service to Barack Obama.
I pledge
to change how I live.
To be a better person.
To never stop learning and growing each and every day.
Every day.
I pledge to commit to my own change before I ask others to change.
Hey, there's a smart one.
Finally.
Yeah, I pledge to make my own bed before I yell at somebody else for not making theirs. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I pledge to commit to my own change before I ask others to change.
Who said that? Anybody?
Randy, you know who said that?
You said that?
Not sure.
Sounds like Jodie Foster.
A wise person.
Yes.
I highly doubt that was Jodie Foster.
She doesn't change?
She doesn't come out much.
To be the change.
To be the change.
But she did come out.
No pun intended. No.
To integrate into my heart what I already know in my head, which is that we're all in this together.
Imagine what could happen next.
What's your pledge?
What's your pledge?
I know you got a pledge. What's your pledge?
You got a pledge?
What's your pledge?
I pledge
to be a servant to our president.
All right. We're going to play this next year, and then and if we're on the air the year after that, and the year after that, and see how they did with Alzheimer's and slavery, and who's smiling more, and who's not using plastic bags. Yeah.
This time next year, 500,000 slaves free.
It seems so silly. And then people listen to this, and then they watch the video, and they think, oh, man, everyone in Hollywood is a complete a-hole. It's not true. 90% of the people in Hollywood are wonderful, talented, special people that have, great, abilities to make people laugh and think and cry and... And then these idiots get on and talk about how they pledge to cure Alzheimer's. Well, it's out of control.
This kind of harkens back to the first viral video that a group of these guys did, which was the don't vote video. Don't vote. Don't vote. Don't vote if you don't care about people. Don't vote if you don't care about the earth.
No more videos.
Don't vote.
You know, just act. Go into movies and act. And go on TV shows and act. Please, with the videos. All right, we're going to take a break here and come back with more of this long-ass news.
Tim?
Long-ass news.
One more time.
Long-ass news.
Tim.
Long-ass news. I'll get out of here, so sensitive.
I quit.
I pledge not to call it the long-ass news. All right, Dr. Reif is with us, a world-renowned psychiatrist. A lot of people know who this guy is, and you're going to hear a lot of things from this young man. He might even be Surgeon General one day. But he's really a terrific doctor, very smart guy. And he's going to be with us. You're with us every Monday, but yesterday we were off. So welcome back on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday it is.
All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. More news with Gina Grab. When we come back, we're live on 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reif is with us. He's an addictionologist and also deals with sex, drugs, and relationships. He's a psychiatrist, and he's very, very good at what he does. And also Gina Grad is with us. She's also good at what she does, and she does the news. What else is going on?
Thank you very much. Well, we save the best clip for last.
All right.
Finally tonight, many celebs have had their fill of the paparazzi and have even become more famous for making their feelings known, like Kanye West and Colin Farrell. However, the paparazzi has become such a problem that even generally quiet stars like actress Julia Roberts are now fighting back.
Oh, boy.
In this clip, Roberts lets loose on one photographer so harshly that she practically shouts herself hoarse. You're going to love this, Tim.
All right. They're still snapping pictures of her, huh?
Yeah.
Right. Hi, Julia. How are you? You look great today.
Sounds like she's at a deli.
Hey, Julia, or she's in the Middle East.
Number 43.
Julia, I love you very much.
Please.
You're beautiful. I like
she's
your hair.
She's walking through a shuck.
Hi, Julia. How are you? You look great today.
You need to get the out of my face. Do you understand me?
Okay.
You are harassing me.
Sorry about that.
Out of my face. You have followed me all over town.
All right.
I have had it with you.
Okay,
I have
sorry.
Your license plate number.
I'm sorry about that.
F*** off. Aim higher. Get a life. Get away from me.
Sorry about that.
Can you just get away from me? Get! Had it. I'm grading my children right now. You get away from me.
Seriously, man. Just give her a space, dog. Doesn't want you
there. Give her space, dog.
Dog.
Yeah. Randy Jackson.
I think I know that guy. His name's Sergio.
Right.
And he used to go to the bars like when we would go out in med school. He was like a med school guy.
Really?
Yeah, he sounded just like this guy. And he's like, look, he would embarrass us so badly because we'd walk up to two girls.
Right.
And I'd try talking to one and he would like say something stupid. So he'd walk up to guys that had multiple women around them and he'd be like, yo, you have two beautiful girls. I have nobody. Maybe you give her to me for one night. I give her back to you tomorrow.
Oh,
good as new. She's good. Don't worry.
Good as new.
And this guy we'd get kicked out of like bars because this guy would be out of control.
Such an a-hole.
But see, the paparazzi is actually, that's a job occupation where you can be that guy and actually make a lot of money.
Well, that's the thing. On the one hand, he apologizes many times. On the other hand, he's apologizing many times because he's not leaving.
Right.
So it's a delicate balance. Yeah.
But actors are really bizarre because before they become famous, they'll seek cameras out. Like, oh, please take a picture of me. Oh, I need to audition for this. I'm going to audition for that. Please, please, look at me. Look what I did. Look at me. Then they become famous and like, all right, we'll take a few pictures. Then becoming really famous. Like, stop taking pictures of me.
Yeah.
That's what comes with fame, gang. People like to see you.
Right, but there's a difference between shooting someone on the red carpet and winding up in an edition of stars. They're just like us.
I know, but you know what?
They pick up dog crap.
Then guess what? Become a banker.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you saying that paparazzis could be confused by this change in behavior, Tim? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I think that there are a lot of jobs out there where people ain't taking pictures of you.
Yeah.
You know, you want to become a gardener, you want to open up your own little shoe store on Ventura Boulevard, knock yourself out. But if you're going to be an actress, they're going to pay you $20 million a movie. People want to get and take a look at you.
Yeah, right.
All right.
I don't understand. Before, you want me to take pictures of you all day long. Now you don't want pictures. I don't understand.
Yeah, they're public figures. And, you know, listen, the paparazzi, they do go overboard sometimes, and I'll give them that. But a lot of the times, you know, these actors and actresses, they want people to take pictures of them. They need it to fuel their ego and fuel their career. And then they can just shut you off. And I don't know. I go back and forth. But I don't think these paparazzi, I mean, you know, they're not killing anybody. They're just taking an effing picture. Yeah. You know, they're snapping a picture of somebody.
And when's the last time Julia Roberts was in a movie?
I don't know.
Charlie Wilson's War last year.
No.
Erin Brockovich?
Didn't realize you were
Charlie Wilson's War last year?
Julia Roberts,
IMDb. Late 2007.
Wow.
All right, anything else going on in the news there, Gina?
Tim, that's what's going on.
That's the news with Gina Grad.
Obama. The news with Gina Grad.
So what do you guys like better, Gina Obama or Gina Grad Obama?
News we can believe in for a change. Paid for by Gina Grad and the Bleeding Heart Liberals of America.
All right, Gina Grad stays with us. Also, Dr. Reef is with us. And again, he is an addictionologist. And perhaps you're addicted to this Barack Obama, this President Obama. You can't get enough. You got the pictures. You're on the website. You're looking at the balls. Perhaps you flew to Washington to go to one of these things. But also, he's going to talk to us about, let me see if I can pronounce this right.
Here we go.
Is it cannabinoid?
Cannabinoid receptors.
Yeah. Receptors. And what is a cannabinoid?
So basically, since everyone on your show talks about pot,
everybody loves weed.
Yeah. So we thought we would bring up cannabinoid receptors. So when marijuana attaches, it's basically how it attaches to your brain, how the pot kind of attaches the receptor sites that it attaches to. Those are actually very valuable areas of our brain. And
where does it attach, by the way?
So there's an anandamide receptor site, which actually, when I was at Commerce Casino, one of the guys at the station knew this, which
really blew
me away. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, there's some smart potheads.
They know what's up.
And where in the brain physically is it? The back? Is it the top?
It's really hard to kind of localize it. It's basically you have these anandamide receptors that are kind of in different areas of your brain. They could be in the frontal cortex and beyond.
Right, and the THC attaches to it.
Yeah, so it attaches to it. So the thought is, if we can somehow, because you know what happens, like you smoke pot, you tend to eat more, right? So if there's a way to actually look at these cannabinoid or endocannabinoid receptor sites, maybe we can find a way to decrease the way that you eat or your satiety centers so that maybe there'll be a way to do weight loss. Maybe there'll be a way to change motivation by blocking those receptor areas or increasing those receptor areas.
Right.
So it's kind of the new hot science is how can we manipulate the way that these receptors are being activated or blocked in order to gain that kind of effect in the body, whether it's eating less or it's mellowing out and chilling out more or whatever.
Motivation.
Or yeah, like if motivation
is 180.
Yeah, like you don't want to do anything. Maybe if you block that receptor site and you change it up, maybe you know you'll be more motivated,
wow.
Or maybe you'll be less anxious for people that have an anxiety problem. Because when you smoke pot, a lot of people you know smoke up because they don't feel as anxious and they don't have to deal with stuff. So maybe there's a way we can make a pharmacologic kind of guide to doing that.
And then if you do that, then you could eventually develop the greatest diet pill ever known to mankind.
Who knows, maybe.
But is there a diet pill out there right now that works, and how do they work? How do they suppress the appetite?
Yeah, you know, I don't know of one that's really... Every time people come up with one, like, you know, you had the whole Fen-Phen diet,
right.
And you had the Dexedrines, and man, I've seen some people just whacked out on Dexedrine. I mean, it is truly, truly a stimulant, and I've seen people get really paranoid, really psychotic, all sorts of stuff because of chronic Dexedrine. So,
right.
You know, it's like we get this pill that we think works, and in the past it's always been stimulants, and it ends up doing other things and other side effects to your body that are so not good for you that it was never worth doing in the first place. So, you know, they're looking at cannabinoids, they're looking at all sorts of other ways to decrease your adipose tissue or decrease the way that you eat or your satiety centers, but I don't think there's really the golden medication yet for
right.
that.
Now, we're back basically to step one, where you need to burn more calories than you take in.
Yeah, you know, eat less, move more.
Wow.
Right. Right?
And that's like, you know, that's, I guess, worked for generations, but it's very difficult to do.
It's definitely difficult to do because, you know, when we're in high school, we got gym class and we got, you know, we run around a lot and we're always doing stuff.
Cheerleading. Track.
Yeah, when you're an adult, I mean, we all know the people have jobs.
Oh, yeah.
You're tired.
You get in the car in the morning, you drive to work, you take the elevator, you sit at your desk. You may walk downstairs for lunch, but you're going to take the elevator again.
Yeah.
Take the elevator back, get in your car. You may walk, you know, 40 steps a day. You sit on the couch when you get home, you eat, and you go to bed.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to grab a quick meal at the, you know, the cafe or the diner that serves crappy food
right.
that's bad for you than it is to actually pack a lunch or get a, you know, something that's healthier.
I see. All right, Dr. Reif is with us. We have to take a small break. Gina Grad is with us as well. And again, Dr. Reif is an addictionologist, and he is also, he deals with sex, drugs, and relationships. So he's a terrific psychiatrist. He's helped a lot of people out on the show, a lot of people out in his practice, and also on television, some work that he's done on TV. So if you need a helping hand, perhaps you're feeling down, you're depressed over the economy, maybe you're excited or depressed over President Obama, and you're just looking for some answers here. Listen, folks, there's no shame in admitting that you have the flu or you have a headache or you broke your leg, right?
Yeah.
Well, there shouldn't be any more shame or any less shame in admitting that you have a mental disease or you have a mental problem. You know, if you had a broken leg, you go to the emergency room and they reset it. If you got yourself a busted brain, you've got to do something about it because it will ruin your life. So if you need a little helping hand here, a little push, Dr. Reif is a specialist, and he's very good at what he does. So here are the phone numbers, 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Gina Grad is with us, also Dr. Reif, and we are live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Adam Carolla, Frosty, Eddie, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Get complete shows now at 97.1fmtalk.com.